This episode is brought to you by Fallout 76, the post-nuclear RPG from Bethesda Game Studios. Explore the wasteland alone or with friends as you meet unique characters, complete exciting quests, and face dangerous foes. Take a stroll along the Atlantic City boardwalk in the latest update. Play Fallout 76 for free now through April 18. Available on Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam. Visit Fallout.com to learn more. Rated M for mature.
You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast, and here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Tennis.com podcast. This is the Tennis in 10 version for Wimbledon. I'm Ed McGrogan, and we're going to look back at the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, and let's get started right away with Wednesday's earliest match that really set the tone for the rest of the day in terms of shock value, sort of significance, and what we end up seeing just by the draw sort of crumbling before our eyes, and that would be caused by Andy Murray's 5-set loss to Sam Querrey. The last two sets, Querrey dominated 6-1, 6-1. Murray was up a set and a break on the American, won a third set tiebreaker. So for a couple of junctures of this match, certainly, felt like Murray would be able to take this one. He had a very strong record over Querrey. The exception that Querrey, 7 years ago in a final in Los Angeles, defeated Murray. I actually remember watching that match pretty clearly. It kind of stuck with me for a bit. That always reminded me of the capability of Querrey. When he's on, when he is hitting his serve and forehand, they're two of the biggest in the game. He defeated Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon last year. And since then, in between these two victories over defending champions at Wimbledon and number one seeds, no less, he also defeated Rafael Nadal in a hard court final in Acapulco. So Querrey, you had to say about him coming into this match that it wasn't as if he had never proven that he couldn't beat the world's best players. He never reached a Grand Slam semifinal, obviously, and facing Murray on center court is a lot different than facing Djokovic in the third round of Wimbledon. But, augmented as well by certainly a dip in Murray's fitness, there's no doubt about that, but I also don't think Murray wanted to use it much as an excuse. He certainly credited Sam for how he played. And the way Querrey ran through those two sets, I think you can look at those last two 6-1 sets and say, well, they're really evidence of a player going away because of poor form and injury. But I look at them as Querrey seizing the opportunity, never giving Murray or the crowd any reason to think that he was going to be able to come back, sort of snag this one. To be able to do that, this is only a 2-hour, 42-minute 5-setter. I did think coming into this one that Querrey, had a puncher's chance. We have not seen the number one level of player in Murray all throughout this year. But I couldn't pull the trigger on making this call either, but Querrey, just a fantastic showing here. And, not only does he advance to the Wimbledon semis, he will do so against Marin Cilic, who defeated Gilles Moore in 5 sets. So both Cilic and Querrey really have to love that the draw has, given both of them such a tremendous chance to get to a Wimbledon final. Cilic, of course, a U.S. Open champion in 2014. But there's no doubt that rather than seeing Nadal or Murray on the other side of the net, multiple-time Wimbledon champions, these two go into Friday with really the opportunity of a lifetime. And you could say the same for Roger Federer, honestly. the way that his draw has broken. He defeats Milos Raonic in a revenge match for last year's 5-set loss. Federer goes through him pretty handily, 4-2 and 7-6. In that last tiebreaker, Raonic won the first 3 points and then won only one of the next 8. Federer gets it done in 1 hour 58 minutes. He won the first 2 sets in under an hour. And he will play Thomas Berdych, not Novak Djokovic, in the semis. Berdych advances via retirement, Djokovic calling it because of his elbow at 7-6-2-0, really 6-7-0-2, I suppose. And not the first time Djokovic has retired at a slam. I think it was the 5th time I read, which is a tremendous stat. It's hard to think of many players who have done that, no matter what level they are, but certainly not a 12-time Grand Slam champion. And, we were saying about Federer before this year that it was an annual thing where it would be said that if Federer could win Wimbledon or the U.S. Open, but he would need the Big Four, the remainder of the Big Four, to be removed from the draw, not by his own means. It was said that he couldn't get through them on his own. He would need help to get by them. And what do you know? All three of Nadal, Murray, and Djokovic are out of this draw before the semis, and it comes at a year where Federer is playing some of the best tennis of his career. So it's not as if he even necessarily needed this assistance. I think he would have still been favored against Djokovic, given how he's playing and really the uncertainties around Djokovic. And he's certainly favored against Berdych, who has a tremendous record against. Berdych has beaten him twice at slams. Let's not forget, once here at Wimbledon in 2010 and also at the Open, I believe in 2013 or 2012 was 2012, for sure. Quarterfinals, I believe. So Federer, Cilic, Querrey, and Berdych. I mean, you never would think about coming into this season and before 2017 began, and those would be your four Wimbledon quarterfinalists. I mean, who would be the most unlikely? Would it have been Federer, honestly? Querrey, I think, would get that. But it's been a tremendously hard Wimbledon to figure out from round to round. No one could have foreseen this coming. Now I want to move to the women's draw, where the semis begin tomorrow. We did not get to a podcast yesterday. What we're going to see is Venus Williams take on Johanna Konta. Konta now obviously the last British player remaining. I almost think that with Murray's loss, you're going to see center court even more lively for her. It was unfortunate the way she defeated Simona Halep, not because of her, but because of the way that the match ended. There was a yell from the crowd while the ball remained in play. Halep kind of froze a little bit, definitely didn't seem to hit her best shot, even though her shot stayed in. It's kind of an odd ending to a match. We've seen, unfortunately, I think too many of these odd endings to matches, whether it's by the challenge on Match Point or some odd. It's a thing that tennis is always going to have to deal with because of just the nature of it and the fact that you want the crowd silent, but, they can play a part in the match anytime. But more to the point, I love the way Konta played in this one. They split the first 2 sets in tiebreakers, and Konta edges her out 6-4 in the third. Konta with a really strong second set tiebreaker win to push this and get Halep, of course, doubting herself a bit. We have some guests on the podcast, of course. Venus Williams takes out Yelena Ostapenko, the French Open champion, 6-3-7-5. Lovely result from her. Just, tremendous stuff to see at her age. And a great run from Ostapenko, too, that it also shouldn't be discounted. Her French Open, her Wimbledon. What a run that we've seen from her this summer. Hopefully not the last that we're going to see. I'm curious to see how she does with this European run behind her and sort of with heightened expectations and come the U.S. summer and really a lot more focus and scrutiny. I'm she's still so young. Want to see how she handles it, but Venus and Konta. And then you have Rybakova against Muguruza in the other semi. Rybakova defeats Coco Vandeweghe 3-3. Very disappointing match for Vandeweghe. Just what an opportunity to let slip by. Rybakova, we've written about her on grass, certainly a fine player, but Vandeweghe gets, you can't ask for more than to face the 86th ranked player in the world in the quarterfinals on a surface that your game is made for. This is that's a very tough and honestly just a bad loss for Vandeweghe, I have to say. And Muguruza, she defeats Kuznetsova in the first quarterfinal of Tuesday 3-4. Muguruza kind of reminded me of Stan Wawrinka a little bit in that we're getting some tremendous highs from her, still very erratic and consistent too. But when we see the highs, they're really, they're really impressive. You take notice, and it wouldn't surprise anybody if Muguruza goes on to win this title. She was a finalist here before, and of course, a French Open champion. But she'll get Rybakova too, and obviously, as we've seen, that's not a gimme by any means because of the Slovakian and because of the Spaniards' way for kind of going away in some matches too. But I do think that Muguruza will prevail, and we'll see if Konta and Konta Williams will meet up with her in the final. We'll see. Again, a lot of guests here on the podcast today. We're going to call it with that, just over 10 minutes. We'll be back to talk about the semifinals next time on the Tennis in 10 podcast. Thank you for listening.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.